Hallelujah. What a glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you haven't already had an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I'll just say to you, then pay attention because He's fixing to. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about how good God is. Amen. Before I could do that, I'll have to dismiss the young people because I'll get stoned if I don't. And I'm not talking about smoking anything. They're definitely going to rise up. We'll let the kids be dismissed into children's church. If you will, just ask the Lord right now. Lord, touch my heart. Open my ears that I might see, that I might hear, that I might know a better relationship with you. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about have you ever heard of a baseball game? Have you ever heard that they got baseball games? Are we ready back there? Okay, good. I want to talk to you this morning about something called first base. And I'm not talking about when you're dating your girlfriend, you make it to first base. I'm talking about first base, the first things first. How many of you know God is on the throne? And He wants us to get things right. We cannot make a home run unless we touch first base. There's too many folks today that believe that, oh, I can do anything I want. God loves me. He judges my heart. We all going to heaven, ain't we? Well, did you hear the scripture that was just read? Did you hear the timing of God? It says that all who come into the throne of God must be born again. I'm just going to ask you a question. Have you reached first base? Have you made sure that your salvation is secure? Do you know that Jesus loves you so much? God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said first and most important commandment is Matthew chapter 22 and 37. You've heard this said many times when the Pharisees were all getting trying to figure out, well, let's figure this out. He said, Matthew 22 and 37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Many Christians today are half-hearted, are half-minded, or half-committed. Well, you know, I could just do what I think I need to do this weekend. I didn't have to go to church. I don't have to serve God. God understands my heart. He knows where I am. Well, the Word says, watch this, John chapter 14. If you love me, say if. If you love me, keep my commandments. What was the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Oh, but that doesn't mean go to church. I'm here to tell you something. If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you want to go to church. You want to. Say want to. How many people love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul? How many of you want to go to church? Why? Because that's where the people of God are congregated. That's where we get a chance to stir up one another. I was talking to Johnson this morning about poking. And he said, yeah, we was talking about poking and fanning into the flames, the things. It's like when you poke a fire, you know what you're doing? You're removing the ashes. You're taking the ashes away, the old stuff that's no longer burning, the stuff that was already burnt. Too many of us are living in our past where you remember back when we used to go to church, hallelujah, the Spirit was moving, and we loved Jesus. We prayed, we got. Well, the only reason why it stopped is because you backed up. Your fire went out. I need to fan it. I need to fan it into flames. Too many of us are looking for somebody else to poke us. But the Word tells us to stir up. Say stir up. We have to stir up the Spirit within inside of us. We have to. If you're looking for somebody else to do it, sooner or later, you're going to burn out. You're going to burn up. Because everybody don't run around all the time trying to make sure you're okay. How many of you know you don't run around making sure I'm okay? Well, how many of you making sure that somebody else is okay? Oh, man, I'm just here to tell you that Jesus wants us, say us, to stir ourselves up. Romans 10 and 8. But what does it say? The word that is near you and in your mouth, and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many of you know that we got to believe? We've got to know. We've got to confess. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's amazing that she came up here and read those scriptures. I'm amazed at how God puts things together. And he says here a little bit and there a little bit. And God's doing something in each person's life. And he's bringing the body of Christ. He's waking up the body of Christ. And as we're tuning in, say tuning in. As we're tuning in, I would almost guarantee you that four or five of y'all that was out here this morning, you could almost say amen to everything she said. Well, there's about a dozen of us that was going, what did she say? I don't know. I can't understand her. She's got that accent. I'm here to tell you that God is on the throne and he reigns. First things first. Say first. First base. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Have you ever realized that we've got to seek first the kingdom of God? And then all those things, huh, that we get caught up with and put in front of God. Have you ever seen that illustration with rocks that they put, you know, they take a bunch of different size rocks and they put them in a jar and then they try to fit the big one in? If you had the jar full of sand and you tried to take that rock in the middle and stuck it in that jar on the left with all of the, it's over left there. And you tried to stick it in that jar, it wouldn't fit. But if you put the rock in the jar first, say first. How about let's put the rock, Christ Jesus. He is my rock. Put him in there first. Put him where? In there. Say there. And put him in there first. Then all that other stuff will fit. But too many of us try to fill our lives with stuff, and then we can't fit the rock. Then we're just trying to, where can I squeeze him? Can I squeeze him in there, Lord? Can I squeeze you in just a little bit over here, Lord? First things first. Romans 8 and 5 says this. For though we live according to the flesh, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, things first. We put things first. To be carnally minded, For to be carnally minded is, oh, well, I'm not dead. That's a matter of opinion. You might ask some of your friends. Anyway, all right, to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you need some peace? How many of you need some life? Living life instead of trying to just get by and try to fix things all the time and just, oh, God. How many of you know that, you know, when things get rough, and they will, that's when we need to learn how to rejoice. Because in the process of turmoil, when we're going through things, that's when God is establishing us, building character in us, letting us learn how to overcome. How many of you know we got to overcome a few things in life? God's working on us. He's working on each and every one of us. We each have, did you hear me last week talk about we each have our own map? You have your own map set out. God has given you a personal destination. You've got a map, and he's saying, come on, this is the way. Walk in it. Too many of us are looking around at other things, and we're not following the guidelines, the direction, the wisdom from God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Say God first. The Bible says in John chapter 14, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. When we follow Jesus, we have that life and peace. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus. That's what Jesus said. No one comes to the Father. Oh, you might think you can get around the back door or climb up the back side or ask Buddha. But how many of you know Buddha ain't there? How many of you know God is the only one and true God? There's only one. So many of our society today is so warped that we're actually starting to accept, well, you know, everybody's got their God. Everybody's got their way to heaven. What makes you think you're the only way? Well, all I can tell you is I believe the Bible. The Bible says there's only one way. His name is Jesus. Can you say Jesus? Or is it against your religion to say Jesus? Why don't you tell somebody, I love Jesus. Too many of us are shy or gunned. Are we worried about being politically correct? Or, oh, I'm not going to offend them. Whee! Give them a flip. Who cares what they think? If they don't love your Jesus, then they're missing the boat. If they don't love your Jesus, it's time for us to tell them about Jesus. How many of you know they need to know? They obviously have not read the Word. They obviously don't read the Bible. So, I mean, because, you know, the Bible is the inspiration. It is the inspired Word of God. He's given it to us to read, to find our way, to find the way, the truth, and the life. He's telling us this is the way. Walk ye in it. Come on, y'all ready to walk? Jesus says a lot of things. We've got to learn to listen to him. I am the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many of people are just looking to score the home run so that they can say, woohoo, look at me. I did it. Without going through the bases. We've got a plan. We've got to go. I mean, how many of y'all understand baseball? You know it. If you miss a base, what happens? You're out of there. If we miss God's plan, if we miss our purpose, how many of you know we serve the risen Savior who gives us another chance? He says, by the way, buddy, come here. You missed a base. Huh? You want to come over here and touch this one? Thank God for Jesus. Amen? So if you miss the base, it's okay, but go back and touch it. Go back and touch the throne of God. Go back into the presence of the Most High God. Go back. Say back up. How many of you know sometimes we got to back up and make sure we got our base touched? Oh, come on, Jesus. I got to touch the bases. Lord, I missed this one. Lord, I've been running my life. I've been running and doing what I thought was right. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death. Oh, I've been doing my own thing. Whoop! I missed a base. Have you ever missed a base? Come on, everybody, you know you did. You've missed a few. Go back, though. Go back and find out, well, you know, I missed this one, Lord. I'm sorry. Repent, the Word says. We'll get to that in just a minute. The Bible says, brethren, watch this, Romans chapter 10 and 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Who's Israel? We are. Say we are. So, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that you may be saved. Oh, did we get saved? Do we understand what salvation is? Do we know what we're saved from? Do we realize how good it is? Watch this. For I bear them witness that I have a zeal for God, for that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they're being ignorant. Now, in case, you know, you never really read through the dictionary and you look when you heard the word ignorant, you took that as an offense. What the word ignorant actually means is unlearned. You didn't know. Have you ever been a place and you realized that you didn't know? Guess what? You were ignorant. Now, a lot of times we like to use that word offensively and try to offend somebody. But truly what it means is I didn't know. And how many of you know it's time for us to know? It's time for us to find out. For they being ignorant of the God of God's righteousness and seek to establish their own righteousness. Oh, I can do it. I believe. I got this in the way that seems right to a man. Have not all submitted to the righteousness of God. Some of us get caught up with just living life, trying to obtain stuff, trying to get our wants met. I just want to, I'd love to have, I'd sure need, we just get caught up in life trying to do what we think is right, trying to succeed and get ahead, and if I could just get to this place, then I'd be okay. How many of you know when you got there, you would not be okay? In case you didn't know that, if you have a goal, and if your plan is when I get there, then everything is going to be wonderful, I have to tell you, it won't happen. Because when you get there, I don't know if you ever heard the story about Howard Hughes. Anybody know who? Half the people in here are saying, who the heck's Howard Hughes? He was one of the richest guys in the world. He had it all, he thought. And they asked him this question. They said, how much is enough? And this was his answer. A little more. Just a little more. And too many of us are just trying to get that little more. That little, if I could just get to that, then I'm here to tell you that you won't make it. Luke chapter 12 and 30 says this, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. Huh? For all these different things the nations of the world seek after. And your father knows that you have need of these things. How many of you know God knows what your needs are? How many of y'all serve a great God? I just got to let you know something. See, this is a little testimony. It's just, to me, it thrills me the way God works. I was edging my property with my electric edger the other day, about a month ago, and it went. It was dead. The edger was broke. I told Carol, I said, oh, man, my edger broke. I don't know about you, but I like to edge my property. I like the way my grass looks with the edge on it, right? I was going to have a new edger. There was a need. But in case y'all haven't known me yet, I'm also kind of cheap. I'm going to try to find a deal. Carol says, why don't you just go buy you an edger? And I said, I think. So I went to Lowe's and I got up there and I looked around. $89? I ain't buying this edger. Ooh, there's one. Ooh, they want 40 for it. That's half price. Ooh. I just was patient and waited a week, 2 weeks. I was getting nervous the other day, thinking, man, this grass is starting to edge up. It's starting to get on my cement. Come on, God. $25, Lakeshore. I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. I was going down the road. I brought Ed to get a haircut. Came back and I'm driving down the road. Now, y'all don't take this. I was not driving in Texan. I pulled on the side. No, I did, and I was driving in Texan. And I said, would you consider $20? They said, yeah, come on, get it. I said, hallelujah. Got me one for 20 bucks. Put a new blade on it. I edged all my property yesterday. I was so happy. Now, why am I saying all that? God supplied. You see? And all I'm trying to tell you is that don't get anxious. Don't get anxious. Don't get so caught up in trying to do stuff for your own strength. Wait. Say wait. Wait on God. Touch the base. Touch first base. First things first. Amen? Now, where the heck am I? I have no. Which is the last thing I read? It's up there still, right? And the devil took him. Yeah, Matthew. All right, here we go. Let me back up here. First base. Watch this. Who are we serving? Are you serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Can he do all things? Matthew 4 and 8 says this. Again, this is the devil taking Jesus up to on a high, exceedingly high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to them, all these things, say things. You see, the devil's lied to you, and he showed you all these things that you think you want. All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Now, I know when I say that, many of y'all are going, man, I'll never fall down and worship the devil. Will we? the things we're doing? Are we worshiping? And Jesus said to them, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Are we serving God? Or are we just trying to do things? When we are misled and caught up in all of the cares and worries of this world, we have left our first love. We have left our first love. What's your first love? When you got saved, you fell in love with who? When you got saved, you fell in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden, your whole world changed. I read the story this morning. It might be next week's message, I don't know. But I read this story this morning about a woman at a well. And her whole world changed whenever he said, "If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again." Too many of us are drinking stagnated water. Too many of us are just not drinking from the well. Too many of us are just not living life. We're existing. We're getting by. We're going to church even. But we're missing. We're missing the life. We're missing the joy of the Lord. We're missing that we don't realize that God is on the throne each and every day. Can you wake up this morning and say, "Glory to God"? Or do you wake up and say, "Good God, it's morning"? Don't get caught up and worried about all the cares of this world. The Bible says in Revelation 2:4, you've heard it, needless. "Nevertheless, I have this against you." Have you ever heard that one? They've left their first love. Jesus is our first. Are we telling anybody about the love of our life? How many of you fell in love sometime in your life? You had somebody that you really loved. Anybody? You didn't? Don't shake your head. No, you're going to get slapped. You fell in love. You fell in love. I don't know about you, but I was like 6 when I fell in love with Jesus. He touched my heart, my mind, and soul. Now, I knew he had a hold of me. Thank God he had a hold of me. Because I missed first, second, and third on the running up. Anybody ever ran your life and you tried to do it your own way? I missed all 3 of the bases. I was just trying to make the home run. I thought I was all okay. And then I ended up walking in this church about 30, 40 years, I don't know, a long time ago. Long time ago. Say long. I know I don't look that old. But it was a long time ago. And all of a sudden, I found myself hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And I found myself desiring to know more about this Jesus. I needed more. I needed a little more. I needed some more. I wanted to know more. And because all of a sudden, the spark that I had when I was 6 started coming back alive. I went back and I touched first base. Hallelujah! And then I walked over to second base because it was a home run hit already. Jesus hit the ball and it was a home run. So I could take my time now and walk. I went over to second base and I got saved and I got filled with the Spirit and I got baptized. I even went to the pastor and said, "Look, I was baptized. I was wet about 8 times when I was in, you know, a young boy. Anybody ever got just wet? You went to the church and they dunked you and you got wet?" Well, I took the God's Covenants class, and they started talking about baptism. And they started explaining what's happening. And we were recognized with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I have never been baptized. I've been wet, but I need baptism. I need the baptism of God Almighty." And then the next time I went down was in the Jordan River. Because we didn't have baptistries here yet. And we went down the road, and I got baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. And from that day to this, I've felt the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me. And all of a sudden, there was a joy, and there was a hunger that just wouldn't be sad. I just desired more and more. And I needed Jesus. How many of you need Jesus? How many of you know you need the Holy Spirit? Oh, you know, I talk about the Holy Spirit. They're going to start talking in tongues, Ethel. Let's get out of here. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about the whole package. He gives you the whole package. Now, there's a third base where you start learning how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're round and about home. You're coming around, but you got to make sure that you touch first base. You got to make sure the first thing's the first. Jesus is my first love. Man, this might offend some married people, but I have to tell you, God, my Father, Jesus is my first love. My second is my lovely wife. Second. What? Well, do what you want, but I want my first love. She'll agree with me. It's her first love too, and I'm not offended that she loves Jesus more than she loves me, and she should. Amen? Because when you love somebody else, you learn that you don't have to not love somebody. You can love everybody. Listen to what the Bible says. I know, watch this, we'd be back in Revelations. I know all of your good works. How many of you know God knows what you're doing? Sometimes we like to remind him, amen? How many of y'all know we like to tell God what we did for him? I know your works, your labor, your patience. We're in Revelations 2 and 2. And that I cannot, and you cannot bear those who are evil. Boy, there's a lot of people that go to church. Look at those wicked, evil people over there. Shame on them. Oh, I just can't. How about let's witness to them and get them saved. Hallelujah. That's what we should be doing. We can't bear those who are evil. And we have tested those who say they are the apostles. No, you're not an apostle. You're a wicked, wicked servant. And have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. You did this all in my name. You was trying real hard, and they have become, and you have not even become weary. You've been doing good. That sounds like a good Christian. It sounds like what we want a church full of. But what did Jesus say then? Huh? What did the word says? Distracted. We're distracted sometimes with the peripheral vision. We are off focus. We're using Jesus in our peripheral, but we're talking about what we're doing for Jesus. Now, we are to be doing. Let me get that straight. We are to be doing, but first things first. Touch first base. Don't get caught up with trying to do all the do's that you forget the most important one. Touching first base. Nevertheless, again, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remembering, therefore, from where you have fallen. How many of you know that sometimes we get a little distracted, we get busy, we're losing ground. We're going to church. I love Jesus. I even raised my hands twice this morning. Hallelujah. I felt the Spirit came by, slapped me as his wing came by. I even got a whoopee. First love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first work. Say first work. What's the first work? I mean, have you thought about that? What is our first work? You got saved? What is the next thing you're supposed to do? Tell other people about Jesus. Be a witness. Have a testimony. Tell somebody what Jesus did for you. How many of you know it's time for us to tell somebody? There's a dying world out there that needs Jesus, that don't understand that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's behind us and he's before us. He is the Almighty God. Do we know him? Have we told anybody else? Oh, I don't want to offend them. You know, they don't want to talk about that religious stuff anymore. You know, man, the heck with them. You know what? It's time for Christians to come on out the closet. It's time for us to rise up. You heard the prophecy this morning. The Lord's doing a work in the body. It's time. Say it's time. It's time for us to rise up and say, hey, I do love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him? Or are you just going to sit back and watch things go by? Excuse me. First base, first love. Repent and do the first works. Focus. Stay focused on what's going on. Or else, what does it say? Or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. I'm going to come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Uh-oh. I'm just going to leave that. You go back and read it. You interpret it. You do whatever you need to do with it. That's what it says. I ain't going to try to beat you up with it. What does it say? The word defends itself. That's right. The word speaks for itself. Christianity is not. Listen to me carefully. Excuse me. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not just another activity to be involved with. Well, we got to go to church. You know what? After church, we're going to go play some baseball. After church, we're going to go play some football. We're going to have this, that, and the other. We got, how many of you got a lot of things going on? And I understand you got kids and you got things that you got to do. But say first things. First, where is Jesus in your priority list? Is he like right under football? Is he right under cheerleading? Is he right? Watch this. Is he under church? You see, sometimes we can put church activity as just another event instead of coming. Like this morning, I have to give our band and the worshipers and credit where it's due. I mean, we worshiped this morning. We entered the throne room of God. It was such a great opportunity to be here with you and witness that you touched the throne of God. There's about a dozen or better people that were truly into worship today. Hallelujah. They were touching the throne. They were touching the hem of his garment. And they were feeling God's virtue being imparted into their life. Oh, if it's you, say amen. If it's not you, say, oh, me. You missed it. You missed a great opportunity. You missed it again. How many times have you come? I'm going to raise my hand because I have. I've come to church and missed my opportunity because I had other things in my mind. I had other agenda on my mind, and I missed the presence of God because I was so caught up in the looking at this person or that person or understand, or they're too cold or it's too hot. Or they do, ooh, look at what she's wearing, that little tramp. We get so caught up and consumed, and we had the day of our visitation was right there, and we missed it, and we went home, and we complained again, and we, that silly pastor here, he is playing goofing on. They worship, man, did you hear that trumpet? She was off key. Man, God loved it. You're right. You see, I'm of the school of a joyful noise. In case you haven't heard me sing, I wished I could sing much better, but I'm from the school of the joyful noise. Sometimes we don't do what we think we should do. You want to tell me something, brother? Go ahead. Hang on. Let me give you a mic. I think I got one. He wants to read something. Yeah, sure. You're not shy? I couldn't imagine why. Oh, turn the green one on. We got a slacker sound man. That's okay. He's coming. Okay. Go ahead.
This is John 4.
Let me see it.
22.
It's on.
Through 24.
Talk loud.
Ye worship, ye know not what. Mm. We know what we worship.
Yeah.
For salvation is of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But the hour cometh.
Yeah.
And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the
him.
Father. In spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
For the Father seeketh such to worship
to
him.
To worship him.
God is a spirit.
Spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Man, you know what? I need to get one just like this because I could read that sucker from here. It's a big print. No, I'm just. I was sitting there watching. I said, wow, I could read that from here. I need that. Well, maybe it was just a distance. I was good. No. Anyway. Did you hear what he, you know what that was? That was the same woman I was talking about at the well that was talking to Jesus. That's the scripture he just quoted. Are you drinking from the well? Are you drinking at the water that no man can give you? Are you drinking from the well? Jesus is not just about another thing. Christianity is not, Christianity is about our first love. His name is Jesus. Where, watch this, where have we put Jesus? We've put him somewhere in our life. Where did we put him? Where does he rank in our pride? Is he on the back shelf? Is he in the back burner? Are you going to get to him in a little while? Or is he the King of Kings? Do you see the Lord high and lifted up? Here I go. I was going to use this mic. All of a sudden it realized it. What are you using that mic for? Do you see the Lord high and lifted up? Do you know that the train of his robe fills the temple? Do you see him this morning? Have you seen him? If you didn't, you missed this great opportunity, because the throne of God was right here this morning. It was right here. Did we walk in and say, howdy, Jesus? Did we tell him good morning? Where did the religious people of the day put Jesus? Where did they put him? Oh, he's a good man. Oh, he's one of the prophets risen again. Oh, but he's not the Messiah. You see, is he your Savior this morning? Or did we do like some of the religious people, just hang him on the cross? Oh, do we just nail a nail into his heart and mind? Do we worship him in truth and spirit? Or are we one of the guys that's driving the nails? Say, here you go, Jesus. Thank you for another hanging. What did the righteous people? Watch this. Luke chapter 9 and 57. Now it happens as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Have you ever seen? I mean, I've been here again for 38, a bunch of years, a long time. And I've seen a lot of people come. Hallelujah. I'm here to praise the Lord. Aren't you glad I'm here? I'm gonna do so much for this church. You know what? Oh, broke the heel. Oh well, need some glue. I'm gonna do so good. How many of you know? A lot of people say a lot of things. A lot of people say, I'm gonna, and never do. Because they're gonna. They haven't checked out whether Jesus wanted them to or not. They just said, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. How many of you know we have a map? Jenny gave me my own personal map. Hallelujah. Just like she gave me that, the Lord Jesus Christ gave me a map for my life. How many of you know he gave you a map? Did you hear me last week talk about your map? You got your map. Are you following somebody else's map? Or are you following just a map? Or are you following your map? Each and every one of us has our own map. Will you truly follow Jesus? I'll follow you, Lord, till it gets tough. I'll follow you, Lord, until I disagree with the preacher. I'll follow you, Lord, until I don't like that worship leader. I'll follow you, Lord, until you're not a committed Christian. You don't have covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. You just have to have a good time. You just want somebody to say what you want to hear. I think the scripture says something about having your ear tickled to let them say what you want them to say. There's a dangerous spot. Luke chapter 9 and 58. Whew, I'm wearing myself out here. I need to calm down. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 40 years of catching up. Luke chapter 9 and 58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests. And birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, you ever read that and you're trying to figure out, what is he saying there? Let me tell you what he's saying. Listen very clearly. Easy. In other words, if you follow me, it won't always be easy. If you follow me, you're going to have some problems. If you follow me, you will have persecutions. Oh, but it'll be worth it. I'm here to tell you that I'm a happier person now than I've ever been in my life. Because I'm not worried about what other people think. You know, you get to a place where you just really don't care. I mean, you're just like, you know what? It really don't matter. You know, if two people here are 5,000, it doesn't matter to me. My job is to drive the bus. Have you ever heard that statement? The Lord called me to be a bus driver. My job is I'm driving this bus. People get on the bus. People get off the bus. My job, drive the bus. That's what the Lord got off. That's my map. Hopefully you're part of it. and you want to ride and you want to be a driver, we got substitute drivers. It's a good thing. Say it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Matthew 6 and 31, therefore don't worry saying what you eat or what shall you drink or what you shall wear. If you were here for prayer this morning, you heard Johnson use that scripture. For after these things, who seeks after it? The world, the Gentiles, the people that not want Jesus' way. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of a new edger. He knows it. He's going to provide it. But you got to be patient. You got to go back and touch first base. You got to make sure that your first love is Jesus Christ. Amen? I think I'm fixing to get on holy ground. I'm walking warped up here. I can't. After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need need of these things, but seek first, say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And if you want to make a home run, you're going to have to touch first base. You're going to have to touch it. You're going to have to touch second. You're going to have to touch third. Because if you don't, you're out. No wonder why we got so many Christians today wobbling around trying to figure out, where am I? I don't know what base you're on. They're trying to figure out who's going to tickle their ear, who's going to tell them what they want to hear, who's going to say to who. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is here this morning. And he wants you to know that your first love needs to be Jesus Christ. And what we have to do is be a witness, say witness. You got saved. Aren't you glad you got saved? Let me just ask this question, just out of curiosity. Anybody saved that wishes they wouldn't have got saved? In case you didn't know, I just want to make sure. Let me put my glasses on and make sure I see all the way to the back. Nobody raising a hand? Okay, good. We're in the right place. If you got saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have not lived that life, shame on you. If you have tasted and seen that God is good and you said, I don't like that water, you didn't really taste it. You didn't taste to see how good he was. You got some stagnant stuff. You expected some man to fill your needs. You expected some person to fill your needs. And I'm here to tell you, no man is going to fill the void of Jesus Christ in your life. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. When we put him first, say first, when we touch first base, life becomes worth living. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. What is the joy of the Lord? Following the map, following his calling, doing what you know. Say, I know. Following what you know he's called you to do. He's called me to be. What has he called you to be? You're on a bus too. You're a driver too. There's a lot of people looking to get on your bus and you've passed them by. You've got people that's going, ding, 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 let me off, and you're not stopping. You've got to stop and allow people to get on and people to get off. Because you know what? The reality is some folks are going to leave. The reality is some folks aren't going to stay. Therefore, watch this. Matthew 6 and 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink? We got to run for the first base. Last week, I spoke about a personal map. Have you ever had your own personal map figured out? Thank you for reading the scripture, brother. God bless you. Some people can. Some people can't, so they tell other people. Some people can't figure out their own map, so they want to tell you how to read your map. Have you ever figured that? Have you ever found that to be true? Some folks are not reading their own map, but they want to tell you how to follow your map. How many of you know I don't listen to them? You know, when people come in and say, I have a word from the Lord for you, brother, I say, okay, give it here. And if it doesn't jive, if it's not lining up with the word of God first, and secondly, with what I know God's already called me to do, I go, okay, thank you, brother. I've had people walk in this building and that door, standing right there in that door, say, the Lord told me to come here this morning and preach. I said, you're a liar. If he'd have told you that, he wouldn't have gave me a word for this morning. Now, you might have a word, and it might be burning in your heart, but you just told a lie. Now, that same person told me I was a mighty man of God, a prophet. I looked like Elijah. Then when I told them, you a liar and the truth ain't in you, they called me all kind of wicked, hurt people. What happened in 2 seconds? I didn't do what they wanted me to do. There's some folks that don't want pastors. They just want a vent, a place to tell other people what they think. Jesus said, watch this, follow me. Then in Luke 9 and 59, he said this. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Have you ever heard that story? And he said, this is what Jesus told him. This is so unbelievable. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. What? Jesus, you're cold. Why would you tell somebody that? Man, could you imagine if a preacher said that today? Pastor, can you come do a funeral? No, let the dead bury the dead. I ain't doing it. What? Man, you'd be the wickedest pastor in town. But go and preach the kingdom of God. Listen to what he told him. It's not about not going to do the funeral. It's about his priorities. Wait, let me go do this first. But he said, no, I want you to go and preach the kingdom of God. What? Jesus knows his heart. How many of you know he knows your heart? When you're making these excuses and you're telling folks all kind of stuff, lies. And man, he just was looking for a delay. He didn't, you know why? Because he was looking to go back home and get his inheritance. Oh, you never read that part, huh? It's not in there. You got to go historically and find it. He was just looking to go back home so he could get the inheritance because he was going to inherit something. Some people are in it just for what they can get. He didn't want to follow Jesus because he was looking for something else. Some of us want to wait. When I get this thing right, then. When I get a spouse, then. When I have my kids graduate high school, then. When the football season or the baseball or the cheer, when that season's over, then I'm going to. When the church starts, then. My goodness. What is our excuse? What are we doing? Why? Why are we telling God to wait? Have we touched our first base? Another one, Luke 9 and 61, right after that he says, another one said, then, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go. See, he had another first. There's too many things people not getting putting in front of God. And bid them farewell who's at my house. You see, he was double-minded. But Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You got a lot of people that get saved. They go to church. They get high. Oh, hallelujah. Hang on. I'll be right back. They get drunk. They smoke. They running around. They do all. Oh, wait. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so sorry for it. Hang on. I'll be back, God. Double-minded people. They're trying to please God, and they're trying to please what they want to do. Oh my. Let me go back. First, let me go tell him. Jesus said, don't look back. I love you, Jesus. I love you, world. I love you, Jesus. I love you, world. Some people are just looking for their best deal. What makes them happy. If I could just be happy today, I'm good. Okay. Never asking God what do we need to do. Never wanting to follow the map that God has placed in our path. James 1, 7 and 8. Excuse me just a minute. I'm about to die up here. Now, let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I'll just leave that. You heard it. If you didn't and you need to write it down, I'll go back and tell you. It's James chapter 1, verse 7. Oh, I think I will read it again just because. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. They are looking for something else to satisfy the desires and their longing for worshiping the one and true God. You won't find happiness in no other way. Oh, you will try. You can drink it. You can smoke it. You can do it. But it's not going to make you satisfied. You're going to be at home and you're going to be thinking in your mind and in your heart, what the heck am I doing? Where am I? Do I know where Jesus is in my life? Jesus, if Jesus is not satisfying you, you're not finding Jesus. If Jesus does not satisfy everything you need in your life, you're not worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Because how many of you know He is? He is the I am. Whatever you need, He is. Say He is. If you're not drinking from the right well, cap that sucker off and go tap a new well. Find the living water that only God can give and start drinking from the well. And you will never, say never. You see, some people, they taste and see, but you know what? They're not satisfied. I'm here to tell you, when you taste Jesus, when you trust the Lord and you give it to Him, you won't be dissatisfied. You will be satisfied. You'll be able to sing that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." How many of you know it's well with your soul this morning? Father, open our eyes. Revelations 2, I'm almost finished. Oh, let me back up and do this. Matthew 26 and 4, because I said this last week and I liked it. How many of you ever read a scripture and you just like it? Watch this one, you're going to like it. Matthew 26 and 45 says, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. Are you still sleeping and resting? Do you not know that God is praying for you and me? Do you not know? Are you still resting and sleeping and watching life go by? Missing your opportunity? Missing the day of your visitation?" I'm almost done. I got one more scripture. Hang on. Revelation 2 and 45, I know you're looking at your watches and your bellies are growling. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Say unless. Unless you repent. Revelation 2, 7, I lied, I meant one more scripture. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Who's the church? "To him who overcomes." How many of you know we got to learn to overcome? "And I will give to eat. I will give to eat from the tree of life." You want some life? "Which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Oh my goodness. Aren't you glad that you have a home run? I don't know about you, but I got a home run. I've touched first, second, third, and I'm on home plate right now. I'm just waiting for the day. Anybody waiting for the day? Hallelujah! Would you stand to your feet? Father, we come before you this morning. First of all, Lord, we just want to give you glory and honor and praise. We want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, this day and forevermore, I'm going to run the race to win the prize. I want to touch first base, Lord. If I haven't touched first base this morning, Lord, I repent. Lord, your word tells us to repent. So we repent. That means stop it. Turn around. Quit going that way. Repent. So, Lord, I want to repent if I haven't touched first base. Lord, and tell you that it's this day, Lord, I'm going back and I'm touching first base. Lord, I want to run. I want to run for you. I want to run with you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of serving you. In this way, in this time, in this hour, Jesus, we ask you, Lord, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 Can I get a